I wanted to bring today's episode to the podcast talking about some symptoms that you may be experiencing and some themes that we see with the couples in our couples coaching program so that you can start to address those missed healing opportunities. Excited for you to listen to this episode. Let's go. I'm excited to invite you to a special masterclass where you'll learn how to improve your chances of pregnancy success if you have low AMH and/or high FSH. You'll learn what you need to know about low AMH and high FSH so that you can get pregnant naturally, how to know which diet will improve low AMH and/or high FSH so that you can stop wasting time and prepare your body for pregnancy success, why balancing this often overlooked hormone is essential to optimize low AMH and/or high FSH, and why many times you'll be told everything is normal and healing opportunities are missed. All you need to do is go to gpnmasterclass.com to register. That's G as in get, P as in pregnant, N as in naturally, masterclass.com to register. I didn't need to go to donor eggs. Obviously, I don't regret it. I have beautiful children. I could have done things differently. I was still cycling back in my 20s. I could have looked at my health, the environmental toxins, the stress I was under.
Many, many women are being told their eggs are too old. That's an assumption. You can't test egg quality.
Many times it's the man. It's the man who's got a food sensitivity or the zinc deficiency.
There can be a root cause to these quote-unquote period problems. The doctor will pass you a pill without any question of why.
Why is IVF the first step? Because we believe it should be the last step. Welcome to Get Pregnant Naturally, where functional medicine and natural fertility solutions will help you get pregnant and have your baby. Hey there, I'm Sarah Clark, founder of FabFertile and your host. I believe the functional approach is the first step for anyone struggling with infertility, and my aim is to help you get pregnant naturally. Today, we're digging into why these symptoms matter when you're trying to conceive. So this episode is for you is if you know there is a reason why it's not working, but no one has run the test to figure out why, and hint, it's not about focusing on egg quality alone. Number two, you want to get pregnant naturally, but you've been told that IVF is your only option and it has you second-guessing your decision. You're moving to IVF in the next 3 to 6 months and want to improve your chances of it actually working. Thanks so much for listening. I'm so thankful that you're here. Make sure you hit follow or subscribe. And if you know someone else who is on the fertility journey, please share this podcast with them. Hello. So as you know, we specialize in low AMH, high FSH, diminished ovarian reserve, and premature ovarian insufficiency, really addressing those underlying healing opportunities as to why this hasn't worked. And so many times with those diagnoses, we may be told that donor eggs are our only option or that IVF is our next best option. And a lot of this time is, you know, we know in our heart that we want to get pregnant naturally. And so for me, when I was diagnosed with premature ovarian insufficiency, first of all, I didn't get a second opinion. So I was diagnosed at 28. I was still cycling. I didn't get a second opinion. I just went straight to donor eggs. And then years later, my health took a nosedive with chronic bladder infections, chronic sinus infections, yeast infections, toenail infections, dandruff, and really chronic stress was the underlying factor for all of these. I didn't discover it till years later. And then really devoting my time now to helping couples with low AMH and high FSH, premature ovarian insufficiency and diminished ovarian reserve, get pregnant naturally when they've been told nothing will work. And we have lots of success stories where people have been told donor eggs are your only option. And lo and behold, they get pregnant naturally. Or if they do need to go back to the clinic, they're actually getting pregnant on the first IVF after canceled cycles, failed cycles, and being told they're a poor responder, which a lot of times this is a case for the low AMH and high FSH. So today, I wanted to talk about some symptoms that you may be experiencing. A lot of the times, if you're listening to this podcast, it's really to look beyond the diagnosis. We get sort of myopically focused on the low AMH and the high FSH. We get really digging deep into our, you know, the quality of our eggs and do all these generalized recommendations to improve our egg quality. And while all the things that we recommend in our FabFertile method improve egg quality, we don't go after a generalized approach to improving egg quality. We look at those other things going on in your body by, you know, addressing biochemistry issues, looking at mental, emotional stress, the toxins in your environment. So today we're going to be digging into some of these symptoms and these common themes that we see. So if you see yourself in this, it is time to kind of listen to the signals here. And it's not just about someone pushing you into IVF. If you feel in the heart of heart that you're not ready, obviously, if you've selected that, it feels right for you, then go ahead. But what we see with these diagnoses is that it doesn't work. So it's important to really address those factors. Worst case scenario is you'll improve your health. And then if you do need to go to IVF, it'll actually work. So what we see here, just to talk about some of the symptoms and some of the themes that we see. So we see people that have been on long-term birth control. So this was the case for me where in my early 20s, they put me on birth control because I started having acne and irregular cycles. This is a Band-Aid approach. It didn't address why my hormones were imbalanced to begin with. We see this a lot, and people being put on not for prevention, but going on long-term birth control, whether it be for PMS, heavy cycles, regular cycles, painful cycles, acne, and more. And so the first line of defense is hormonal birth control. And I've done a lot of episodes on the podcast about this. There's one with Dr. Jolene Brighton where we talk about post-birth control syndrome. And really, this birth control can then impact your body's ability to absorb nutrients. So you could eat that really healthy diet, but maybe you're not absorbing the nutrients from the diet, from the foods you're eating, and also predispose you to food sensitivities and gut infections. These are themes that we see. So if you have been on long-term hormonal birth control, you've come off, now you've got this diagnosis, not to say it is the complete cause. It's hard to know, were these things there all along that you had an imbalance and then that was the Band-Aid and we didn't do the diet and lifestyle things to correct it. Not everyone that goes on the birth control obviously comes off and has fertility issues. But for you, if you've been on it, and similar to the clients we work with, being on it for 5, 10, 15 years, even being on a year can impact the health of your microbiome or your gut. So the next one we see is undetected autoimmune disease. A fifth of people with premature ovarian insufficiency, actually, there's an autoimmune disease going on with this. And we see this a lot, and we're not diagnosing, but we definitely see people coming in, you're doing a blood chemistry review, we see no one's looked at the antibodies and they may have Hashimoto's. Again, we're not diagnosing, but then that could be flagged to take to your physician. Celiac disease, we see Crohn's disease, we see Graves, but typically the most common autoimmune disease that we typically see are going to be celiac or Hashimoto's. We have like multiple people right now with Hashimoto's that are pregnant. So after going through failed cycles and being told poor response and that donor eggs are their only option. So definitely dig deeper. If you have an autoimmune disease, conventional treatment for that is typically taking medication. So with a functional approach, we're digging into those missed healing opportunities and how do we then potentially reverse that. And then we see food sensitivities. We're in the middle of a gluten-free craze right now. We've got paleo, keto, Whole30, all sorts of other diets going on here. So although this diet may have worked for someone, is it right for you? So with the food sensitivity piece, with low AMH and high FSH, diminished ovarian reserve, and premature ovarian insufficiency, we see a theme of non-celiac gluten sensitivity. So even though it can be negative for celiac disease, gluten wreaks havoc on the body for people that we're working with, including myself. So yeah, non-celiac gluten sensitivity is what I have. When I have gluten, it just has a whole cascade of issues that impact my skin, to my joints, to my gut, to my hair, to my whole body, my mood. So food sensitivities are key to address. It's one of these things where you're like, oh wait, when I have that food, I don't feel that great. Well, that's a clue from your body not to keep eating it. So it's like, oh, every time I have cheese, I get digestive issues. Or every time I have cheese, I feel my nose is running. So if that's you, if you already know you have sensitivities, well, you need to take that food out. As you start to heal your gut, potentially you can bring it back in. If it's really high on a food sensitivity test, we may not bring it back in, but most of the foods you can bring back in. So on the food sensitivity piece, we've done a lot of episodes about the elimination diet and really figuring that out. So food sensitivities, we work with couples where we do a food diary, then we do the elimination diet, and we tweak it further with food sensitivity testing. We have not had one person that comes in and we're like, wow, there's no sensitivities to anything. That just hasn't been the case. And many times doctors or well-meaning practitioners will tell you, well, no, diet has nothing to do with your fertility. I'm here to tell you that that is not what we see with the couples that we work with who have low AMH and high FSH, diminished ovarian reserve, and premature ovarian insufficiency. And yes, changing your diet can totally suck in the beginning. You're like, wait a minute, what do I eat? What am I going to do? But as your body starts to feel amazing, you set the intention and then you can really dig in and you realize that this is what's right for you. For you and I, it's impacting our fertility. Other people, it might go to diabetes. It might go to cancer. It might go to heart disease. It might go to other health issues. You and I, it's our fertility and the food sensitivity. If you've got something that's coming in on a regular basis and causing an immune response in your body wants to survive, not procreate. So food sensitivities are a symptom, something that we see. Gut infections is our next one. So gut infections, we've done a lot of episodes on the podcast talking about gut health. We see a lot of people when we do our stool testing, it's different from the conventional stool test you get with your conventional doctor. This is a functional test that we use and we have access to testing. We ship it worldwide. So we see people with multiple parasites with low AMH and high FSH, bacterial infections. We see worms, we see fungal infections. So you can eat the most beautiful, pristine diet and really dial into the maybe going gluten and dairy free or more if that's right for you, you know, reduce your stress. But if you get an infection that you haven't addressed, that needs to be addressed. We have access to supplements and we take a low and slow approach with this. So we would develop a protocol for you or depending, we also have a physician on our team. She's a physician, but not your doctor. She's part of our case reviews that we do. It may be necessary to use an antiparasitic or an antibiotic if necessary. We prefer using a low and slow approach with supplements because obviously an antiparasitic or an antibiotic is going to kill the bad guys as well as the good guys. It takes a little bit longer to bring the body back into balance, but sometimes it's necessary. So it is the functional approach is combining the best of conventional medicine and diet and lifestyle changes, chronic stress, all of this, putting it together. So it's not like we're excluding medication, but doing medication by itself without addressing the diet and lifestyle, it just doesn't make sense. That's the Band-Aid approach. And you haven't addressed the underlying mishealing opportunities. So gut infections, we see that a lot. The next one is thyroid dysfunction. We've talked a lot about this on the podcast too. So you being told maybe your TSH is normal, while conventional side of things, anything normal could be under 5. And typically for your RE, if you've had any kind of IVFs, your reproductive endocrinologist may have told you, you want the TSH under 2 or 1.5. But the TSH is only the beginning. We really want to look at the full thyroid panel, including antibodies, looking at T3, T4. You know, are you converting? Is there an issue with your liver, with your gut? Why is your thyroid off? Is the canary in the coal mine? We see either subclinical issues with the thyroid. So it's not thyroid imbalance. It's actually the liver or the gut imbalance. Or we see hypothyroidism. So you may need to be on medication in conjunction with doing the diet and lifestyle changes. Again, we will work with your physician if necessary for medication to help with that. And then also autoimmune issues. So again, we work with many people with Hashimoto's, some Graves, not as much, but more Hashimoto's, so an autoimmune issue where people's antibodies are sky high and they're taking medication, but no one's addressed those missed healing opportunities. So if your thyroid is off, especially if you've been told your thyroid is normal and you've got ovulation issues or issues with your period, it's key to look into your thyroid. It is a huge theme that we see that typically could be missed. So if you're on thyroid medication, you've got POI or diminished ovarian reserve or low AMH and high FSH, and you haven't really dug into the food sensitivity piece as well as gut infections, which sort of we see that go hand in hand. Typically gluten and thyroid don't mix. So that is something to look in that you may be taking medication, being told your TSH is off, but no one's addressed those other missed healing opportunities. Chronic stress. And it's still to this day, it is really is my thing or my pattern for myself and see if this is you. If you're just a person that just keeps going, you actually feel fine. Like I will feel fine. I'm like, I'm fine. I'm not stressed. Even when I got my fertility diagnosis that I was told that donor eggs are the only option for me. Obviously I was devastated by that, but I went straight into action, but I didn't take time to feel it. Didn't take time to grieve. And years later, my health took a nosedive. So it comes to like a burnout piece. And we work with many people that are over-researching, you know, 4 hours a day of research, which is very common. So it's not about beating yourself up, but that's you. Like I have a love of learning. In times of, especially with medical issues and health issues, in times of stress around that, I see myself going straight to Dr. Google, trying to figure this thing out and driving myself insane with it. So that's why having a team that can take over that research for you, so then you can focus on self-care. But if you're the kind of person, type A, you're a researcher, you keep going, you actually don't even feel stressed. Or maybe you do feel stressed, but maybe you don't. To really dig into that piece, because what we see is an action-oriented type A person that is very stressed. And we focus on the biochemical. We're looking at the thyroid, the blood sugar, the food sensitivities, the gut infections. But addressing the stress, like the pressure, obviously, of society, of where you are, the pressure you put on yourself, usually that's even worse than society. The pressure we put on ourselves that we want to have our child now. This is the time we wanted to have it. We're going to do everything we can possibly to do this. And the biochemical stuff, especially if we work with a lot of people in the healthcare field, nurses, doctors, science-minded people, they get excited about the testing, excited about addressing these underlying healing opportunities. But then when we say the stress piece, to look at that, that can be very difficult, especially when you don't feel stressed or you're like, I'm fine, I get tons of energy. But you know, how is that impacting your thyroid, your adrenals, all of this? So most of my issues, and I've made a lot of changes to my health with addressing the biochemical and then the mental emotional side of things with meditating, with slowing down, with doing things that make me happy, all of that, and recognizing when I need to pull back. So chronic stress is key. And we see that just kind of missed and people recognizing it, but just not being able to somehow address it. And that's why our program, FabFertile Method, we help you get out of your own way to see the patterns. In times of stress, do you head to Dr. Google? In times of stress, do you say, I'm fine, don't worry about me, I'm going to take care of everybody else? In times of stress, what's your default? What is your pattern? So that's to look at. Most couples we work with have already been through IVF and experienced failed cycles, been labeled a poor responder, and told they had better rush to another IVF or that donor eggs are their only hope. I don't want you to waste time or money on IVF when no one has looked at the missed healing opportunities as to why it's not working in the first place. We've helped couples get pregnant naturally or improve pregnancy success when they've been told that donor eggs are their only option. We've helped couples get pregnant naturally with AMH as low as 0.04 and FSH in the hundreds. Learn how our proven FabFertile method can help improve pregnancy success for you. And I'm excited to invite you to a special masterclass where you'll learn how to improve your chances of pregnancy success if you have low AMH and or high FSH. All you need to do is go to GPN Masterclass. That's G as in get, P as in pregnant, N as in naturally, Masterclass, MasterClass.com, GPNMasterclass.com to register, and excited to see you there. The next one we have is environmental toxin overload. So this was me for years. I changed my diet, made all the changes, not easily, but I was very disciplined on the diet piece. I'm like, took out gluten, dairy. Those were problems with me. Later, corn. Didn't really feel, you know, in the beginning, obviously going to restaurants and things like that could be difficult. But I've been doing this for like over 10 years. So I don't even think about it anymore. Like people would be like, oh, poor you, what are you eating? And I think, well, poor you, what are you eating? If that's impacting, for us, it's fertility. Other people, it's other issues. And so with the environmental toxin piece, our personal care, so our shampoo, our lotions, our creams, things like that, all those, if you're using the conventional side of ones, can have endocrine disrupting chemicals in them. And so you want to make sure that you remove those. And it's not about throwing everything in the garbage, but we see that environmental toxin overload, personal care, cleaning products, and your feminine hygiene. So your pads, your tampons, and those, you know, spray with glyphosate that you're putting in your vulva, your vagina, and it's impacting your fertility because it's toxins in that area. So looking at those, not throwing it all out, but gradually switching over. We do recommend to move quickly on the feminine hygiene pads and tampons to switch those out right away. So we see a lot of people that have a cleaner. They come in and the cleaner's using all these toxic chemicals and we don't want to talk to the cleaner because it might be embarrassing to say, hey, I want you to switch over, but you're paying for this service. The person's coming into your house. You can either tell them to purchase some non-toxic products or you purchase them for them because it doesn't make sense for someone that you're hiring to come into your house and clean and they're using toxic chemicals. I had that for years where I'm coming in, she's like spraying all kinds of stuff. And then I'm like, you know what? I don't want you to use that in my house anymore. I don't need to come in and smell the Lysol and the bleach and the rest of it. So look at that. What are you inhaling? And how is that impacting? So the environmental toxins, obviously what you're breathing, what you're putting on your skin, what you're drinking, making sure, you know, you have a water filter. So those pieces, and if you want to have an air purifier. So there's things you can really dig into there, but the environmental toxin overload, we're in the middle of a huge, you know, we're exposed to over 85,000 chemicals. So looking at that piece. We see that as a theme. Many people haven't really dug deep enough into that. We see over-exercising and under-eating. Typically, we're working with a type A, you know, busy professional who potentially just maybe exercise is how they cope. But that might be stressing out the adrenals. Maybe the next day you're dragging, or maybe when you do the exercise, it's really too much for you. We have a fertility yoga series where it might be like, this is the slowest thing ever. Are you kidding me? I can't even do this. And that's the point. So like Hatha or restorative yoga, very like a slower approach. So if you're feeling that the only way that you can cope is with a lot of exercise, I encourage you, it's not about no exercise. It's about how can you pull back on that for you. So it's either over-exercising or under-exercising, not moving at all. We need to move. That's really important for your body. These are basic things I think we all know. We see people that are under-fueling. We see people that are, you're not eating enough protein or fats, and so under-eating. And then another thing is you may be eating the right things and you're not absorbing them. So we see that a lot. Mood imbalance, done a number of episodes on this, how, you know, your gut health is directly impacted to your mood. So your neurotransmitters, obviously there's situational anxiety or depression related to the fertility journey, but maybe you've always been classified yourself as an anxious person, or maybe you're a depressed person. So what's going on with your neurotransmitters there, and how do we then, is it like a food, a gut infection, thyroid imbalance, all of that? How does that then impact your mood? So if anxiety, depression, brain fog, maybe that's something you're dealing with, ADHD, all of these, when you start to address those missed healing opportunities, mood starts to come back into balance. And so if that's something that you're experiencing, we see this all the time. People that are extremely anxious and worried, and that's how they classify themselves. And it turns out they had a neurotransmitter issue. They're not actually an irritable, anxious, depressed person. There was something going on with their biochemistry. And then also there could be trauma, obviously, with the fertility journey that you may have experienced. Obviously, getting a fertility diagnosis can be traumatic. And if you've gone through any kind of IVF or you've had loss, all of that is extremely important to address and to get help with it, especially if you're the kind of person you kind of push it down. You're like, I'm fine. It is to be able to give voice to it, because a lot of this is, it's a lot to deal with, right? Especially the things going on in the world right now too. There can be a lot of trauma. And we do see a theme too with people with childhood trauma and more. And so we make sure we address that too. That can obviously be a stressor on the body, and it's important to look at. Skin problems. We see a lot of people, and this is like me. So I had great skin in my teens and then my early 20s. Oh my goodness, now I had acne. What's going on? We put on the pill to address the acne. Or some people were given Accutane, which then impacts the health of the gut. Same with the pill, impacts the health of the gut, which then just makes it worse. So mine for years, it was on my chin area. So like a hormonal imbalance, cystic acne. It wasn't tons, but it was like enough that whenever it came, I was like, are you kidding me? Like, you just want to put a bag over your head and hide, putting all this makeup on it and blah, blah, blah. And finally, as I addressed the food sensitivities, the gut infections, all the skin issues went away. So lo and behold, so if you've got acne, skin rashes, psoriasis, eczema. I had eczema. I remember how like rashes up above my eyes, my arms were always itching and the folds in there. I had like just these weird little patches all over the place as I started to address those other issues that came back into play. So for you, if you got a fertility diagnosis, low AMH and high FSH, and then you also have skin issues, it's key to dig into that piece. That can be a red flag for us to dig in deeper. What's been missed for you? Joint problems. Maybe you're like, oh my goodness, I got a back stiffness or arthritis, joint stiffness, all those things too. I know if I accidentally get glutened, I literally feel like I have carpal tunnel syndrome. I'm like, my wrists start to hurt. I feel like I have tennis elbow. My elbow hurts. My knee, it's like every last little injury I used to have comes into play. And I'm like, geez, some people say they, you know, they get out of bed and they're like, oh, this can barely walk. And I'm like, I don't have that because I don't have any body pains because I've reduced inflammation in my body. Still the stress thing for me, working on the stress. You can't reduce all stress, but to be aware of it and where do I pull back? Blood sugar dysregulation. We see this a lot with people being irritable, hangry, moody. All of these things can be signs of blood sugar dysregulation. We see this a lot where we have people do a glucose meter so you can test your blood sugar, see how maybe you having a little half a sweet potato is spiking your blood sugar. All of that is inputting your blood sugar on a roller coaster, which then impacts your sex hormones. Getting your blood sugar regulated is key. It's a huge theme. If you have prediabetes, diabetes, any blood sugar issues, the hangry, the moody, the feed me, like I feel nauseous, any of those things, they're signs of low or high blood sugar. It's key to look at that and to balance it. Poor sleep. Well, it's an epidemic right now with sleep issues, insomnia, dysregulated sleep, interrupted sleep, waking up at, you know, 2 to 4 in the morning, which could be liver issues, having a hard time falling asleep, waking up feeling exhausted. So really, sleep should be 7 to 9 hours, 9 being best. Sleep trumps everything. And that is a huge, huge part. Like if you've got insomnia or dysregulated sleep or issues with your sleep and you're running off to IVF, it just does not make sense. There's something your body's trying to tell you. You should go to bed, fall asleep within 15 minutes and wake up 8 to 9 hours later and feel great. So, and I've never had issues with sleep. We work with people that literally have, and so if you don't have any issues with sleep, that's great. Continue to maximize it. Like get a sleep mask, take the phone out the room, look at having, magnesium drink before you go to bed, Epsom salt bath, all these things to calm you down, journal, get your thoughts out, all that piece. So I do all that, not all at once, but you know, and essential oils to get yourself into that sleep routine to ease into bed. But if you've got issues with it, it could be issues with parasite, like gut bugs are more active at night, blood sugar issues. So blood sugar is kind of this hamster wheel thing, or the thing where if you have dysregulated sleep, it impacts your blood sugar, then it just keeps going on and on. And we have people that for years have not been able to sleep, and then we've now got them sleeping 8 hours. So sleep is a huge factor if you have low AMH and high FSH, POI or DOR, and more. And digestive issues. We see a lot of people constipated, you know, having a bowel movement every 2 to 3 days or longer. Those toxins are circulating in your body, estrogen potentially, not being able to detoxify that. Maybe you have loose stools, diarrhea, all of these. You've got maybe burping, you've got gas, you've got bloating. All of these digestive issues are huge clues for us to dig deeper. They're common, but not normal. And it's a lot of things we don't talk about, but if you're not going to the bathroom, eliminating waste, these toxins are circulating in your body. And similarly, if you've got IBS or diarrhea or loose stools, are you absorbing your nutrients? And you could be eating this great food, but maybe there's an issue there with absorption and more. So digestive issues are huge, who should look into, and could be a missed healing opportunity for you. At the bottom line, there is a reason that you're not getting pregnant naturally. And although you may have been told that IVF or an IUI is your next best option, heading to the fertility clinic, in our opinion, is a mistake. It's really looking at these issues. And if any of these things that I talked about, if you resonate with any of them, then I encourage you to book a call. So you can click on the link in the show notes or go to FabFertile, FabFertile.com, and click on apply here. And you can book a call with me. We can see if the FabFertile method is right for you and your partner. So this is a couples coaching program, and we'll see if this is right for you. So before you go to IVF, and you do have to take time on this, right? But to me, there's no negative side effects for you working on your health. We've got people that have been told donor eggs are their only option, and they get pregnant naturally within, you know, 6 to 7 months in our program. We've got people that have been told that, again, donor eggs are the only option at the end of our program. They do their next IVF and it works after multiple failed cycles and being told nothing will work. So if it's worked for someone else, it can work for you. Obviously, we're all different. That's why we take a very personalized approach by having access to these functional lab testing and then developing that targeted action plan for you and your partner. Even though we focus on female factor infertility, there is also men coming in now that we support as well that may have male fertility issues as well, because it's 50-50 for male and female fertility. So even though we focus on low AMH and high FSH, sometimes we have, more often than not, we also have issues with semen analysis, be it low sperm count, DNA fragmentation, morphology issues. So lots to help with the male partner as well. And then even if his semen analysis is fine, still important to have him by your side as you do this together. There's always things that we can both work on for our preconception health. It's not just about you making these diet changes and doing the testing. It's essential that he's there with you to build that strong foundation for your future family. So if this resonates with you, I encourage you to book a call. So this call is for you if you want to get pregnant in the next 3 to 6 months. You're willing to focus on getting pregnant naturally. Obviously, doing IVF and this same in conjunction does not work. So we need you to focus in on following our proven method, our FabFertile method, and then you're potentially looking at IVF if that's right for you. But many times people are getting obviously pregnant naturally after they've been told nothing will work. And then if you're ready to make these necessary diet lifestyle changes with a proven protocol, we obviously can't do the work for you, but we help you get out of your own way. And your nutrition practitioner and your fertility coach have typically made a lot of these changes already. So we're not going to tell you to do something that we haven't even thought of doing ourselves. You know, I have changed my diet completely, changed my lifestyle, addressed all these different factors that we're talking about. Well, it's not an overnight magic pill, but in a very short period of time, you can start noticing huge change, improvements in sleep, improvement in energy, even improvements in your bowel movements, and things like that. And those are all huge, huge signs that things are starting to work. And then you start to notice improvements in your cycle. So if you've got an irregular cycle, light cycle, long cycle, we see people that their cycle starts to come back into balance after it being years of just not. So you can go to FabFertile, FabFertile.com, book your free call, and we can chat and come up with a plan just for you. So take care. I would like to invite you and your partner to a Supercharge Your Fertility Discovery Call. This call is for you if you meet at least one of the following criteria. You've been trying to get pregnant for at least 2 years. You've been through at least one failed IUI or IVF. This call is for action takers. If you're not ready and you wait, the risk is you'll need to wait 2 to 3 months for a spot to open up. If you're seriously considering work with us, go to fabfertile.com. That's fabfertile.com and click on apply here. That's fabfertile, fabfertile.com and click on apply here. Then you'll be booked in and ready to spend 30 minutes to give you the action plan to getting pregnant naturally. The Get Pregnant Naturally podcast, including show notes and links, provides information with respect to healthy living, nutrition, lab testing, and is intended for informational purposes only. The information provided is not a substitute for medical advice, diagnosis, or treatment, nor is it to be construed as such. We cannot guarantee that the information provided on the Get Pregnant Naturally podcast reflects the most up-to-date medical research. Information is provided without representation or warranties of any kind. Please consult a qualified physician for medical advice and always seek the advice of a qualified healthcare provider with any questions you may have regarding your health and nutrition program.